The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nikki Thunder of KCHE in Cherokee and Dale Wagner with the Sac Sun. Nikki, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you, Senator. As chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, along with Bob Casey, the Senate Aging Committee ranking member, can you describe the letter written to the Centers for Medicare and the Medicaid Services regarding the federal oversight of managed care organizations?
Yeah. We spend billions of dollars, and for Iowa, it's about 61 cents out of every dollar is federal dollars. And we have 38 states that have, I think, private managed Medicare like we do in Iowa. That's probably about 80% of the people nationwide that are on Medicaid. And we had a Government Accountability Office report that suggested that CMS wasn't doing its job of oversight of the state's managed care, particularly as it relates to people that have multiple health problems. And in our case, we're particularly interested in the care that is given to older disabled people. So we're asking CMS two things. One, several questions about certain factors that they have to take into consideration, whether individual states are following the law and following the recommendations and regulations of the federal oversight of state Medicaid. And then the second thing, the Government Accountability Office made several recommendations to CMS, and we want to know the extent to which CMS is following up on those recommendations that the Government Accountability Office recommended. Dale?
Yes, Senator. Yesterday was Labor Day, and I'm going to hit on that theme a little bit in terms of the economy. We've got economists predicting possibly an economic downturn, and the president's administration saying all is well. What's your view as the chairman of the Finance Committee?
Well, the economy is slowing. Several indicators indicate that. Far from a recession, and I think that some people, by talking about it so much, are wanting to talk us into a recession and could talk us into a recession. And probably a lot of Democrat candidates for the presidency of the United States wouldn't mind seeing a recession, because I think the president's reelection is based upon the strength of the economy for the most part. On the other hand, when you see a big uptick in consumer spending for the July report, and that's going strong, and consumer spending is at least two-thirds of the economy. We're even having economists predict that from a 2% GDP for the second quarter, we could have a 2.2% growth in the economy for the third quarter. So I'm not worried about it at this point. Back to Nikki.
Senator, can you describe your comment about former FBI Director James Comey on the self-serving decisions doing great harm to the FBI?
Yeah. I think that when you have at the grassroots of America, as we know, a really dedicated group of people to carry out law enforcement at the federal level, and that's a professional FBI agent, when the former head of the FBI it's acknowledged by the inspector general that he used his high office to conspire against the president of the United States and join other forces at the highest level of the FBI to do that, to get an inspector general appointed. Mueller's appointed, spends $35 billion, and comes up with no crime or collusion. Then you know it's pretty bad when the head of the FBI is involved in such obnoxious situations. Back to Dale.
Yes, Senator, I'm going to stick with the Labor Day theme. What's your opinion on a minimum wage increase, and would it have any traction at the federal level?
Well, obviously, if we increased it at the federal level, it would have an impact, some of it negative, because CBO said that an increase to even just to $9 and a few cents would increase unemployment of young people by 1 3/10 million people, then it has a negative impact. It's kind of odd that we're talking about increasing the minimum wage now for particularly young people, when it tends to be the young people and the lower income people that have had the biggest wage increases in the Trump recovery. And let me quantify that to some extent. on a percentage increase basis, 5-plus percentage increase for a lot of wage earners compared to production and professional people of getting about a 2% increase in wages over that period of time. It's a significant benefit of people who were left behind during the Obama recovery. Back to Nikki.
Senator, in a recent release, can you describe the myths and facts about the USMCA?
Well, I think the myths are that it's no better than NAFTA, and without a doubt, it's better than NAFTA. So that's why Democrats that have been complaining about NAFTA for 25 years, when Governor Vilsack, the leading Democrat in the state of Iowa, says that without a doubt, USMCA is better than NAFTA, that speaks for itself. So that's the myth. And then the fact is that USMCA is very much better. Let's take Canada as an example. Getting our dairy and poultry products and wheat into Canada when it was practically impossible to get that done under NAFTA, and having a higher percentage of parts for cars being domestically produced. I think now it's up to 75% under USMCA, a big factor for union workers. Another big factor for union workers is the majority of those parts have to be made by people that are making at least $16 an hour compared to $3 an hour of Mexican labor. So it's good for manufacturing, it's good for agriculture, and it includes a lot of things to protect intellectual property and digital trading that weren't even issues 25 years ago when NAFTA was passed in 1993, I believe. I think we go back to Dale, is that right?
Switching to the Missouri River flooding, it appears the Army Corps of Engineers and the wishes of the public and yourself and others in the federal government are at odds. What should the communities along the river expect to happen in the near future?
Well, let's take Hamburg as an example. Hamburg was promised by the Corps of Engineers that it would build the levee around Hamburg to, I think, a 19-foot level instead of I don't know what level it was, 9 or 13, something like that. And now they've backed down on that. Well, after the 2011 flood, when they'd put up a temporary dike, if they had left that levee in place after 2011 at the height that was then, but no, the Corps of Engineers made Hamburg spend millions of dollars to take it down to the level where it was when we had the flood of 2019, and two-thirds of the town was flooded. So now the Corps of Engineers signs a document with the city of Hamburg that they're going to build it to the highest level that it should have been to prevent this flood, and now they're backing down. So I want the Corps of Engineers to keep its word.
Thank you, Nikki and Dale, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.